and just having a great time praising the Lord and His wonderful goodness to us. And I would like the opportunity just to once again be a blessing to you. And the preacher said the message should be short tonight. I'll do my best because we all need to be back in the morning. Yes? Yeah, amen. And I sure wouldn't want you to have to miss because I kept you up late. So anyway, we're gonna do our best. I have this for you history buffs. Most people don't know that back in 1912, Hellman's mayonnaise was manufactured in England. In fact, the Titanic was carrying 12,000 jars of the condiment scheduled for delivery in Veracruz, Mexico, which was to be the next port of call for the great ship after its stop in New York. This would have been the largest single shipment of mayonnaise ever delivered to Mexico. But as we know, the great ship did not make it to New York. The ship hit an iceberg and sank, and the cargo was lost forever. Well, the people of Mexico, who were crazy about mayonnaise and were eagerly awaiting its delivery, were disconsolate at the loss. Their anguish was so great that they declared a national day of mourning, which they still observe to this day. The national day of mourning occurs each year on May the 5th and is known, of course, as Cinco de Mayo. You know, your kids have advice once in a while, and they like to share it with others, particularly kids with kids. For instance, Patrick, age 10, said, never trust your dog to watch your food. And Michael, age 14, said, never tell your mom her diet's not working. Randy, age 9, said, stay away from prunes. Nerona, age 13, said, don't squat with your spurs on. And Talia, age 11, said, when your mom is mad at your dad, don't let her brush your hair. Yeah, and Tracy, age 14, said, never let your three-year-old brother in the same room as your school assignment. And then, Andrew, age 9, said, a puppy always has bad breath, even after eating a Tic Tac. And Amor, age 9, said, you can't hide a piece of broccoli in a glass of milk. And then Naomi, age 15, said, if you want a kitten, start out by asking for a horse. And then Lauren, age 9, said, felt tip markers are not good to use as lipstick. And Joel, age 10, said, don't pick on your sister when she's holding a baseball bat. And Alicia, age 13, said, when you get a bad grade in school, show it to your mom when she's on the phone. And then Elaine, age 8, said, never try to baptize a cat. Got one more to share. You You let your imagination go, and today, as it's been for years and years, we like to follow the stock market. Well, let your imagination go as I share this little ditty with you. For instance, starts out by saying, helium was up, feathers were down, paper was stationary, fluorescent tubing was dimmed in light trading, knives were up sharply, cow steered into a bull market, pencils lost a few points, hiking equipment was trailing, elevators rose while escalators continued their slow decline. Weights were up in heavy trading, light switches were off, mining equipment hit rock bottom, diapers remained unchanged. Shipping lines stayed at an even keel. The market for raisins dried up, Coca-Cola fizzled, Caterpillar stock inched up a bit, sun peaked at midday, balloon prices were inflated, Scott Tissue touched a new bottom, and batteries exploded in an attempt to recharge the market. Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you're saved and on your way to heaven? Yes, indeed. You know, this is a place where you can get happy and stay happy. Yeah. You know, if we get depressed, can't be God's fault. And so anyway, we're looking for the Lord to bless and move in a very special way. I'd like you to take your Bibles and we'll just get right to where we need to go. And that we'll go all the way here to the book of Genesis. Now, that's not so hard to find. Genesis chapter 12. And I've entitled, if you've been trying to put, I'm not so good at giving out titles to messages. I just get right in and go, and even afterwards, somebody comes up when they're recording and said, what was the title of that message? I said, well, I've got a few. Let's see which one works the best. But anyway, I've entitled this one, The Day God Called. The Day God Called. And there was a day in Abraham's life when God called Abraham. And I'd like to share this call with you. And it starts out in verse number 1. It said, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. So now the Lord is being very specific. He's actually answering every question that Abram has before Abram asks it. Have you ever asked God questions just because you didn't understand why God was making you or calling you to do a certain something or other? These were all the things that Abraham probably was going to present before God. So God thought that he would just simply answer those first so that Abraham wouldn't have any questions. And sure enough, I mean, there are three indicators here. Well, he said, get thee out of thy country. Now, hey, Abraham's 75 years old. He's an old man. Well, he wasn't so old way back in this day. But nonetheless, he had been there for 75 years in the Ur of the Chaldees. And so now God is saying, now I want you to go to a place that I will show thee. But he said, get thee out of thy country. First, that was what he said. That was his directive. First of all, get thee out of thy country. You know, some of us, when God calls us, say, look, I'm not willing to leave this place. Well, God took care of that right away. He said, I want you to leave this place. And I'm not telling you where you're going. but I want you to leave it. Now, how about them apples? I mean, isn't that interesting? I mean, how God is so very frank and specific and very simple. Then he said, get thee out, and then he said, from thy kindred. All right, so now he say, from those who are related to you. And then he said, and from thy father's house. All the things that anybody would use as reasons why they shouldn't go anywhere. Yeah, God said, look, you're gonna leave. You're gonna leave this country of yours, you're gonna leave your kindred, and you're gonna leave your father's house. Now this is the day God called. And then he said, when you leave, then I will show you where you're going. When you leave. When you leave. Now, I'm going to kind of jump a little bit ahead on this. But here goes Abram and his kindred. I mean, I'm talking about those that are in his immediate house. There's a number of people that are leaving. And they're heading down the street. Now, can't you just hear all the neighbors? And they're saying, hey, Abram, where are you going? And Abram calls back and he said, I don't know. Well, now, isn't that interesting? Why would he pick up and leave? Take everybody with him and leave his country, his kindred, his father's house, and go somewhere he has no idea where he's going. All he knows is but God. And that's all you need to know, isn't it? That if God moves on you and he calls you by your name, that you need to go. Now, wait a minute. There is a time frame involved here. Now, this is not just speaking to Mr. Allen as a missionary or any other missionary. This is also speaking to you who are in very as much involved as Brother Allen going to the field as you are to send him. Now, do you realize that it's possible tonight that there is another prospective missionary here seated amongst us here tonight? Yeah. There's another potential miracle that God's pointing his finger at. Just so that you'd be willing to go as a missionary. I'm reminded of a young lady who gave the testimony I heard many years ago. She came back from a Bible youth camp, just like the one that you go to. Matter of fact, it was at Silver State. At that time, it was a church in Springfield, Missouri. And she came back from that particular time and that youth camp, and she gave a testimony before the church. That was one of the most moving testimonials I'd ever heard. I mean, there had to have been an awful moving of the Spirit. I'm just going to kind of interject a few thoughts here. It wasn't even a part of it, but I'd never seen anything like it. I mean, here comes one girl. She's going to stand up in there, and she is going to publicly tell her parents she is sorry for being rebellious. Then she goes down there and she starts hugging them. Get a load of that. And then the next one comes up and she says, she's telling her parents the same thing over on the other side. She goes over there and hugs them too. Well, after it got done, everybody's hugging everybody. I mean, there's a revival meeting with all these testimonies going on. And never a word was preached that night. But God sure moved in the midst of the hearts of those people. But this young girl, she said, you know, I've been running from God for a long time. I didn't want to be a missionary. I knew that one day, if I ever submitted to be a missionary, God would put me right smack in the middle of spiders and snakes. I don't like either one. So I didn't yield and didn't submit. So she kept running and kept running. And finally, at this youth camp, she said, "That's enough." She went forward and she came to God and said, "Lord, I'm willing. I'll be a missionary if you want me to." And God spoke to her and said, "My dear child, I've not called you to be a missionary. I've just wanted you to be willing to be one." Say, would you believe that there are people here this night that are not even willing to be a missionary? How do you like that? There are people here tonight that aren't even willing to be a missionary. I mean, you said, "Look, God would never call me." I mean, after all, if God called you to be a missionary, that'd be a miracle. Huh? Hey, brother, are you a miracle? Yeah. I mean, God found him in a truck. Yeah, he's running down the road somewhere. He's a miracle. He knew he was running from the Lord. God said, "Gotcha." Yeah. Hey, some of us would do well if we quit running from God. There's a possibility that somebody's here tonight that you're presently running from God. How's it feel? A little exhausted? It's tiresome running from God. Why? Hey, I don't know where he's got them, but he's got better track shoes than you do. He doesn't even get tired. And you? Boy, you're physically exhausted, you're emotionally exhausted, you're spiritually exhausted, you are a wreck. If you're running from God. This should be the night. Obviously, God is calling you tonight. This is the day God called. And this is the day to do something about it, just like Abraham did. God goes on in verse 2 and says to him, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So what happened in verse 4? So Abram departed. God called and Abram left. He left on the day that God called. I mean, I don't think it was the same 24-hour period. But hey, I believe that right then and there, he started making preparations. God was calling him to a foreign field. And he was looking for an obedient child of God, and he found it in Abram. So he departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Aaron was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now, I'd like you to notice with me, I'm going to watch the Word of God comment on the Word of God. Over here, the book of Hebrews. If you'd go there to chapter 11. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Notice this with me. In Hebrews, chapter 11... and we're going to look here to verse number 8. It says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance," what's the next word? "Obeyed." Something we just somehow find ways of dragging our feet. You see, because generally it's known that obedience is for children. You know, kids. Yeah, that's what obedience is for. Obey. Obey your dad. Obey your mom. Wait a minute, mom and dad. You forgot about obeying God. Yeah, you need to be able to show your children that you know how to obey the Lord. You're the leader. The spiritual leader. You know, some of us got this idea, said, you know, we never ran for this office. I never wanted to be a spiritual leader in my home. Hey, you are it because you are God's choice. God delegated the authority of you to lead your people, you lead your children, your sons and your daughters to follow God, to follow the Lord. And the very best way to show them that is you follow God so that they see you following the Lord. Hey, that's what Brother Allen was saying. He watched his dad follow God. That always speaks volumes. Driving down that road, having your dad as an image in your mind. Wow, does the Holy Spirit... He really hits below the belt, doesn't he? I mean, he just had no mercy when it comes to that, right? Just dig. Yeah. And if you're sitting here tonight, the Holy Spirit does the same thing to you. Look, He's telling you you'll have more peace when you yield and submit to God. So it said right after the word obeyed. I mean, look here. I mean, I think this is exciting. It says, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Wow. Where are you going, Abraham? I don't know. I'm just following God wherever that is. God never did tell me ahead of time. I thought this was interesting. One missionary made this statement one time. You know, some people talk about having a call of God. I can't honestly say that I had a distinct... I heard a voice. I didn't hear really God called. But actually, this was a missionary that went to Brazil. He just said, I saw the need and I went. I can't tell you I had a distinctive call of God. I just saw the need and I went. And he'd been there many years by that time. You know, you and I, we profess that we know Jesus as our Savior. We believe that we are bound for heaven. We are children of God. Yay? Yeah. Well, look. When people look at you from the outside, they expect a whole lot more from you than what sometimes we're showing them. We don't show them too much or too effectively just how Christians are supposed to react and respond. Fact of the matter is, any time that the Lord calls, it's always on His favorite day. It's always on His favorite day. Do you know what that day is? It can't be yesterday. Can't be tomorrow. I mean, you can't hear God say, I want you to be saved tomorrow. And you can't be saved yesterday unless you got saved yesterday. So God's favorite day is called today. Have you ever noticed that anybody that ever lives, it's always in a day called today? Tomorrow is highly overrated. Do you realize how much stuff is pushed into tomorrow just because we don't want to do it today? You understand what I'm saying? Tomorrow I'm going to pray more. Tomorrow I'm going to increase my missions. Tomorrow I'm going to pray about being a missionary. Tomorrow I'm going to read my Bible more. You just wait. When tomorrow shows up, I'll be there. All right? So let's all get together and wait for tomorrow to show up. Here comes midnight. That hand on that clock just about to go over into the other side. Here it goes. Guess what? It's Tomorrow never did come, did it? It's today. Do you realize that it'll always be today? That if you're ever going to get anything done for God, it's always going to be today? Yeah. You know, one of these days, preacher, I'm going to submit to be a missionary.
Why not pick God's favorite day?
Yeah. One of these days, preacher, I'm going to give to missions. I'm going to tell the Lord I am going to start giving to missions. Hey, why not do it on God's favorite day? That would be today. Hey, do you know when Brother Allen wants to go to the mission field? God's favorite day. Yeah. Today. And you know, when you get there, it'll be called today. Yeah. Anytime you ever make a decision, it'll always be today. So, if we push it off to tomorrow, we become guilty of being a procrastinator. We ought to be doing today what needs to be done today. Amen? Because whenever God calls us, it's always. To the lost, when's the best day to be saved? Today. Yeah. Today's the best day to be saved. Yeah. To the backslider, when's the best day to get your heart right? Today. God's favorite day.
You know I'm telling no lie.
It is the way that it is. And anybody that's ever made a decision for the Lord always made it on God's favorite day, today. We need to take action. When? Today. This is what the Lord has called us to be involved with. And it says, not knowing whither he went. And so he went out today, following God. How many of you want to follow God? How many of you want to live a holy life? I mean, does God command us to live a holy life? Hey, did you put that in your calendar somewhere? Did you pick a day when that's going to be? I mean, there's an awful lot of wannabes sitting in the pews. Awful lot of wannabes. And if God is moving on your heart to make a decision, this is it. This is the moment. Some of you are looking back, just like Brother Allen was looking back. There was a best day way, way, way back there somewhere. Yeah. But you can't go to that day anymore. That's bought. That's gone. That's past. That's past. And I'm here to do my utmost best to impress you to make the choice. There was a day that God called Jonah. And the Bible says that Jonah rose up to what? Flee. In other words, he ran from God on a day called today. That's what people do when they just simply refuse to go where God leads. Look, today you're called to be involved in missions. You're called to be involved in missions. God has either called you to go or He has called you to send. Are you listening? God has either called you to go or He's called you to send. You see, you can't ever be too poor to send a missionary. Why? Because all God is doing is looking for a willing heart, empty pockets, pockets He can fill. So you come in here and stick your empty pocket out to God, guess what? Hey, He said, I can fill that thing. I can send a missionary to the foreign field with that empty pocket. You believe that? Yeah. God does miracles. You say, preacher, I'm telling you, if God fills that pocket, that'd be a miracle. You believe God can fill a pocket like that, right?
And some of you are going to say, not mine, it's got a hole in it.
Yeah, wait a minute, God's ahead of you. He's got some thread and a needle. He can sew her up and fill her up. That's what he can do. What I'm saying is, don't sit and postpone when God is calling you to get involved now. We need a church that will send missionaries like Brother Allen today. What you ought to be able to do is say, that's it. I'm tired of finding excuses why I can't get involved in missions. I never have enough money to send missionaries. I'm tired of it. You see, that's what this faith, the faith factor is all about. It's all about people who don't have it to give. Who don't have it to give. Look, if we go to Open Door Baptist Church, hey, don't you love this church? Yeah, I'll give you another chance at a good amen. Right? Amen? Yeah. Love this church. Why? We got a heart for God. We got a heart for souls, right? I mean, aren't some of you happy about some of the people who give insurmountable amounts of money to missions? Aren't you happy for them? Wouldn't you like to be one of them? Hey, could God make you into one of those people? Yeah. Yeah. Hey, why don't you be brave? Go ahead, suck in that tummy of yours, stick out your chest and say, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to put faith in God. And I'm going to ask the Lord to give me a figure to put down so that today I'll start supporting missions. Get tired of excuses. They don't fit with God. Can you see yourself standing before the Lord of the judgment seat? And you say, Lord, but Lord, I didn't have it to give. I wanted so bad to give it. And God said, my dear child, I had it. I wanted to give it to you so you could give. I had it. That's what He says to you today. All He's doing is looking for somebody with an empty pocket with faith so that He can fill it to give to missions. Amen! Hey, this is all about us getting excited about winning souls in Brazil, China, Japan, Russia, all over the world. Some of these missionaries go with a submitted, surrendered heart, yearning to get amongst the people. I remember sitting with a missionary when we went to a missions trip in Mexico back in the early 90s. Sat there with a missionary, and the missionary told me about another missionary there that he had given an illustration that was on the field. He was a missionary to a leper colony.
Whoa.
A leper colony?
Yeah.
He was sitting at a restaurant one time with a leper sitting on the other side of the table. And the discussion went along, and somehow or other, the leper asked the missionary, why are you here? And the missionary said, because I love God. And I brought the message of Jesus Christ to the lepers. And I love the lepers. You see, for a man like Brother Allen and his family to go, he has to love the people. It takes a special person to go to a special people that God puts a special love in their heart for. This leper sat on the other side of the table. He had been eating a piece of meat. And when the missionary said that God gave him a love for the lepers, he took the very piece of meat that he was eating from, put it on the missionary's plate, and said, "Prove your love. You eat of the meat that I just ate from. Then I'll know that you love me." Wow. You talk about being put to the test? That missionary picked up that piece of meat and he ate it. Now, do you believe that God could keep him from getting leprosy? Yeah, and God did. But this man proved his love. Look, you can be a part of that work by sending people who have a heart to go. Since you're not going, God has given you the means to send them. Amen. Amen. Look, don't pick someday down along the road in the future. God spoke to you today. Today is the day God called. Therefore, today, get involved in sending missionaries or go yourself, because you're either called to go or you're called to send. And if you're doing neither, then it's kind of obvious. It's time to get your heart right with the Lord, because it's not right. You can't get into the Scripture and not find missions effort everywhere you look, to reach the lost at whatever the cost. Don't you think it's time? Right? It's absolutely time. It's God's time called today. Shall we bow our heads? Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. As God would speak to your heart and say to you what it is you need to do to make the decision to come before the Lord and yield and submit to God, could I ask of you to get rid of all the roadblocks, get rid of all the excuses, get rid of all the obstacles, all the things that's kept you from getting involved in missions, and just simply let the Holy Spirit have free access to your heart tonight. Do not deny God access to your heart. Do something about missions, either go or send. How many of you would say tonight, "Preacher, God indeed has spoken to my heart this very evening. Would you pray for me that I will rightly respond to the call of God on my heart today?" Would you raise your hand? "Preacher, pray for me." Yes, I see your hand and I see yours. Yes, and I see yours and I see yours. Who else? And I see your hand. Is there someone else? Yes, and I see yours and yours. Yes, and your hand. And are there others? "Preacher, would you pray for me? God spoke to my heart. I need prayer. God spoke to me." Yes, you may put your hand down. I see yours too. Is there someone else? "God spoke to my heart." Is there someone else? "Preacher, God spoke to me. I need prayer." Is there yet another? Yes, I see your hand. Who else? "Preacher, would you please pray for me? God spoke to me. I just simply need to be yielded." Yes, I see your hand. How precious it is to see even children raise their hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me." Is there yet someone else? Who else? Yes, I see your hand. Is there yet another? Let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. Is there yet another? "Preacher, pray for me. God spoke." Yes, I see your hand. Is there yet another? Who else? Yes, and I see your hand. Is there somebody else? "God spoke to my heart. I need prayer." Is there somebody else? Who else? Say, "Preacher, please, please pray for me." Is there yet someone else? Father, thank you. Thank you for keeping things as simple as we need to hear them.